Planning a new custom home or remodel project isn't just designing a project. It's the steps you need to take before you even contact your architect or designers that you should look within and answer your own questions so that when you're ready to begin your project, you walk in empowered and that you can empower your designers and your construction professionals to meet your expectations. Most homeowners wait for the sun to shine, the snow to melt, the rain to subside, the flowers to bloom, and then start thinking about their project. But that's not the best time to start planning your project. You as a homeowner over the winter can do a lot of self-discovery so that you can empower your designers and your construction professionals to hit the bullseye for your expectations. We're going to go into the studio and we're going to talk about a planning process that you can take all by yourself, and I'm going to help guide you through that. So let's go into the studio and listen in. Welcome to the Awakened Homeowner. Thinking about a new home or remodel, but feeling lost in a maze of decisions? You're in the right place. I'm William Reed, and for over three decades, I've coordinated the design and construction of hundreds of remodel and new home projects. I know the process can feel overwhelming, but trust me, you can do this. Here, we break it all down step by step so you can feel confident, empowered, and even excited about your project. No stress, no guesswork, just the guidance you need to bring your dream home to life. Let's dive in. All right. Welcome back, everybody. I'm your home building coach, Bill Reed. And so you've been following along, hopefully, and you know we've just wrapped up a pretty deep dive into design limitations, all those zoning regulations and setbacks and lot coverage requirements, all that fun stuff that affects what you can actually build. And that's been a great series. And we've covered a lot of ground there. And I'd recommend when you start to really seriously think about designing to start with the beginning of that series and learn everything that's going to blindside you. But before we go any further into this, still this big master world of design series I've been working on all last year, I want to hit pause and I want to talk about something that's really critical now. Right now in January of 2026, or any January, frankly, winter time. So here's what I'm noticing. My inbox is a builder and general contractor. In the winter time, my inbox is quieter than usual. My phone's not ringing off the hook, and that's completely normal for this time of the year in the construction and design world. And most homeowners are kind of in hibernation mode themselves. They're scrolling through home renovation ideas late at night. They're saving pictures on Pinterest or house.com. They're dreaming about their future project, but they're not taking action. They're thinking, I'll deal with this when the spring comes. I'll start making calls when the weather gets nice. And you know what? I get it. It's cold outside. It's raining outside. It's not the ideal time of the year. The holidays just ended. Summer and construction season feels far away. It doesn't feel like the right time to start planning a home project, right? But here's what most homeowners don't realize, and this is what we're diving into today. The homeowners who start planning right now in January and February are going to have a massive advantage over the ones who wait until March or April to get moving. One of the big wake-up calls for a lot of homeowners who have never built or remodeled before is realizing really quickly that it takes a long time to plan a project out properly. And if you don't take that amount of time to plan out a project properly and you're behind the eight ball and you're anxious to get started before the weather comes again next fall, this is where compromises and mistakes are already being made before anything has even really gotten started. So I'm kind of talking about like a 3 to 6 month head start here. And I'm talking about access to designers and contractors who aren't slammed yet. They may have work in the pipeline they're getting ready to start, but the smart contractors, the smart designers are already thinking about filling their next pipeline for the following year. And so I'm talking about having your plans ready to permit when everyone else is just starting to figure out what they want. So today's episode is all about timing, specifically why winter planning is your secret weapon for home building and home renovation, planning a large remodel project. We're going to talk about what actually happens when spring arrives and everyone starts calling architects at once. We're going to revisit the discovery framework that I introduced way back in the beginning of my podcast episode, because I really feel like this is one of the most important aspects a homeowner can do that I don't hear a lot of people talking about in order to position yourself to achieve your expectations. That's what it really boils down to. But if you missed those episodes, or if you need a refresher, now is the perfect time to dive into those episodes after this episode. Now, forgive me, that was my first episodes that I've ever done before, so I may not sound quite as good or smooth as I'm talking now, but give it a shot. So if you combine this episode with those early episodes, because what I do is I dive into deeper into the ones that I'm going to introduce to you today, into the five pillars that I'm going to be introducing today. And most importantly, I'm going to be giving you a very specific action plan for what you should be doing in January, February, and March. Really, you can apply this at any time of the year, but I like to see homeowners start planning their project in the winter so they're positioned to get permits and break ground when they want to in an ideal time. You end up getting yourself set up for an incredible project. So let's get into this. Let's make it happen. All right. Before we dive in, I want to tell you about something I'm really excited about. This is a kind of a lifelong dream in my whole design and construction career. Everything we're covering today, the discovery framework, all these planning steps, and much, much more, I'm building into a software program called BuildQuest. Think of it as your planning assistant. His name's Quinn, who walks you through every single step we're talking about today and more. You answer questions, and Quinn guides you through creating your complete discovery package, so that you are empowered as a homeowner and you actually empower your design team. So between the two of you, you're on the same page. Now, this application's not launched yet. It's deep into development right now. But if you go to buildquest.co right now, you can reserve your spot to be an early beta tester and get notified when we launch. And what I'll be doing is I'll be doing a private launch for the people that do sign up, and I'll probably need about 50 people of design pros, construction pros, and homeowners to give me real feedback so that I can make sure that I'm addressing every single need as much as possible. Now, I'm also going to try to throw together a planning workbook for this episode and the other discovery episodes in the beginning of the podcast. And this is something that you'll be able to download for free after I publish this episode. So look for that. I'll put it in the show notes here at the podcast, at the YouTube channel, and even if you go to theawakenhomeowner.com, you'll see a blog post there about this exact episode, and you'll be able to download it there, and it's for free. And if you do download that, that'll automatically sign you up for the BuildQuest soft launch invitation, and I won't be pummeling you with tons of email or anything, so don't worry about that. All right, so let's get into why winter planning changes everything. All right, so let's talk about what actually happens in home design and construction world when spring rolls around, because I want you to understand the reality that most homeowners walk into, and most importantly, how you can completely avoid it by planning now during these quieter winter months. Picture this, it's April, the weather's warming up, the sun's out, you're walking around your home or your property, and you're getting excited. You're thinking, this is it. This is the year we finally do the kitchen remodel. This is the year we build that addition. This is the year we break ground on our custom home. Maybe this is even the year that you go out and try to find a parcel for your custom home. Sound familiar? Here's what happens next. You pick up the phone, you start calling architects, you start reaching out to designers. And you know what you discover? Everyone else had the same idea at the same exact time. This is the reality. Starting in March, architects and designers get flooded with calls. I'm talking flooded. Good architects want a good one. They often book out 3 to 6 months, sometimes even further, depending on how busy they are. Contractors are already lining up their spring and summer projects by February. By the time April rolls around, they're committed, they're scheduled, and they've got their crews assigned. And this is one of the biggest surprises that I've experienced. I mean, hundreds of times when people walk in the door, they just didn't really realize that it took time to plan a project. That's what it really boils down to. And that's what we're going to try to pin down for you today. And then here's the math that nobody wants to hear. If you call in April wanting to start a project, you're not breaking in ground until September at the earliest, maybe later, because even if I could squeeze you in immediately, which I usually can't, we still need time for design. We need time for revisions. We need time for permits. We need to go through the whole estimating and costing process, the contract process, that entire process. If you're planning to build a custom home, could take at least 1 year, realistically, if you're building a mid to upper end custom home to get ready, just to get ready to break ground. And sometimes it's longer. It just depends on the complexity and the size of the project. Sometimes it's shorter. If you're using prepackaged plans, you know, like for a project that just need engineering, maybe you can start sooner. But in general, it can take an awful long time. For remodels and renovations, if you start planning in January, you might be able to break ground in the spring or summer. And that's something to keep in mind as well. So that's kind of the spring reality. Everyone's calling at once, and the best professionals are already booked. You're competing with 10 other homeowners for the same architect's attention. You're settling for whoever's available and not necessarily who you actually want to work with. So think about it. You're actually making compromises on your project before you even design anything. And that's with the designers. So it can lead to frustration, rushed decisions. It leads to settling for second choices, and it pushes your timeline way out beyond, I'm sure, what you were hoping for. All right, so now let me show you, you know, what's different about right now in the middle of the winter time. You know, my calendar has openings. My architect friends have bandwidth. Contractors are doing estimates, planning their spring schedules. This is the quiet before the storm, and it's exactly when you want to be making your moves. Think about it. When designers have more time, you get better attention. Your initial consultation isn't rushed. You can spend time really listening to what you want, asking thoughtful questions, you know, and digging into your project. You're not one of five consultations that they're doing that week. You might be the only one. You might still be within a group of new customers for the architect, but it's certainly a quieter time of the season for the most part. And it really does depend on the location that you're in and the weather, but this is a pretty common, you know, I mean, you might even see some contractors, you know, offering winter consultation deals because they want to keep their pipeline full, or, you know, the quality of the attention you get in winter versus spring, it's night and day. And here's the timeline advantage. If you start planning in January or February, you can be ready to build May or June for a remodel project or for a very simple new construction project when the weather's perfect. But if you wait until April to start planning, you're looking at September or October, or maybe in the dead of winter to be prepared to start your project, and maybe later. So you've lost the whole summer construction season. So this is key. It's important to what your expectations are. You could certainly start your planning your project in the spring in March or April for a new custom home, but you should probably be thinking realistically that you wouldn't be able to break ground until the following April or May or the following summer. And that's perfectly fine too. It's just that you understand that, because if you don't understand that, that is where expectations start to crumble. And before we move on, I want to talk about something that doesn't get discussed enough, and that's the actual financial cost of waiting. Not just the time cost, but real money that homeowners leave on the table when they don't plan ahead. So when you're rushed, you make expensive decisions. You don't have time to shop around. You don't have time to get multiple bids. You don't have time to really think about your choices, and that costs money. Those compromises cost your expectations. So limited contractor choices means less competitive bidding. If only one or two contractors are available when you need them, you're paying whatever they quote. There's no competition driving prices down. So design mistakes, changes you want to make during construction because you didn't think things through during planning. Those are the biggest budget killers. Change orders are expensive, way more expensive than taking the time to get it right in the design phase. And change orders are kind of a funny dynamic. It's not necessarily that you actually decided to change something from one thing to another, but you actually added scope of work to the project because it wasn't thought out or planned out thoroughly. So in my business, I have change orders and I have extra work orders, two different things. Change orders suggest that we're changing something that was already in the scope of work. An extra work order is adding something completely that was never included in the project. Now, those are the ones that are really mess people up, and that is because it can add additional cost to the project, additional delays to the project, and really drive a wedge into some of the relationships that occur on a design and construction project. So this is what happens is you rush through the project. The plan details are not thorough enough. Scope of work is not thoroughly defined or completely missed. And this is a large contributor to why people run around saying, oh my God, I blew my budget. I blew my budget. My contractor is blowing my budget. Well, this is a really big part of the problem is incomplete planning by being rushed to get a project started is one of the biggest problems. And that's what contributes to a lot of aggravation. So in my book, I tell a story of two different homeowners, Ben and Jane, who rushed into their project without proper planning, and the McMillans, who took the time to do their discovery work up front. And the cost difference between these two projects was significant. And I'm talking tens of thousands of dollars, if not more. And it all came down to planning. You know, Ben and Jane made expensive changes during construction because they didn't figure things out, you know, beforehand. They discovered problems when it was expensive to fix them. The McMillans, they knew exactly what they wanted before the first nail got hammered. Their project stayed on budget. So when you added all the time delays, the missed opportunities with designers, and the rushed decisions that cost extra money, the change orders, the extra work orders, the stress, waiting to start planning doesn't save you anything. It costs you big time, and you don't know that. You don't realize that. And that's my goal here today is to help you realize that. So you can, regardless of the time, the time of the year you start planning, to make sure that you are planning thoroughly enough. And a good starting point is over the winter time. And that's why we're talking about today. So that's why timing matters so much. Winter planning isn't just about feeling productive. It's about positioning yourself for success. So now let's talk about what planning actually looks like. We're going to revisit the discovery framework that I introduced in the early podcast because this is exactly the work you should be doing during these winter months. All right, quick reminder, everybody. Everything we're talking about today and so much more is in the Awaken Homeowner book. At less than 0.1% of your project cost, it's the best investment you'll make. Grab your copy on Amazon and keep it by your side throughout your entire project. Trust me, you'll refer to it again and again. All right, so hopefully I've convinced you that proper planning is a good start to a project, and the wintertime is not a bad time to do it. Don't wait till the spring unless your expectations are to start much later. So great, so now what? This is where a lot of homeowners get stuck, and frankly, a lot of people out there claiming that proper planning is the right thing to do with nothing to back it up. You know, homeowners know they should be doing something, but they don't know what something is. So they default back to scrolling through the Pinterest and the house books, which is fine. That's part of the process, but it's not enough. And if you're one of those homeowners, whether you're planning a landscaping project or a new home project, a remodel, you know what I'm talking about. You feel like your wheels are stuck in the mud. You're running around your house with your significant other pointing and saying, I want to do this and I want to expand that. But you really just get stuck and you just start spinning your wheels. So today I'm going to walk you through what I call the discovery framework. This is the foundation of everything we do in the Awakened Homeowner methodology. And it's covered extensively in part one of the book that I have, The Awakened Homeowner. And this is another thing that you can do during the winter time, or if you're just just very tentatively thinking about a project is just start absorbing the content in this book, because it takes you through the world of design, the world of construction, and action plans that will help you really tackle a project. And the first part of the book is the discovery series. So if you've been listening since the early episodes, this is going to be a great refresher. And if you're new here, this is going to be give you a good roadmap for exactly what you should be focusing on, you know, during these winter months or just generally during planning your project. So what discovery actually is? Let's start with a simple definition. Discovery is the work you do to get clear on what you want, what you can afford, and what's possible before you start hiring designers and contractors. It's the internal work before the external outreach. And this is a big part that people just try to skip right over and pick up the phone or go on the internet and just start having dialogue with designers and contractors and just get stuck in this whirlwind. The mud just keeps spinning. Now, this isn't a huge time investment. We're talking, you know, I don't know, maybe 10 to 20 hours over a few weeks. It could be over a weekend. It's not overwhelming. And here's the beautiful thing. It can be done entirely indoors, perfect for the winter weather, right? Discovery involves introspection, research, conversations with your spouse or partner, and some number crunching. The output is clarity. Clarity that empowers designers to serve you better and prevents you from wasting time and money going in the wrong direction. One of the things that the designers are starving for is clarity. They want to make sure that at the end of the meeting with you, that they have a clear understanding of what your goals and objectives are for both design, construction, and cost. And it's hard sometimes to get that a homeowner to project that clarity because they haven't done the proper homework ahead of time. And it's because it's not your fault. It's because you didn't know what you needed to do. So think about it this way. If you walked into a doctor's office and the doctor immediately started prescribing medications without asking any questions about your symptoms, your medical history, your lifestyle, you'd walk right out of there, right? You'd think that doctor was crazy. Well, that same principle applies to home projects. If you walk into an architect's office and say, design me a house, without giving them any context about who you are, what you need, what you can afford, how much you want to invest in the project, how are they really supposed to help you? They can't, not effectively. You can eventually get there with them, but you're going to spend a lot more time and money with the architect, and the architect's going to be sent on different little paths trying to figure you out, trying to figure your project out. So why do that when you can spend a little bit of time in your own home, just the two of you or your family sitting together talking about what you want, really want, and how we're going to get that to them. So the discovery is about doing that homework ahead of time so that when you sit down with professionals, you can have productive conversations that actually move the project forward. So I will be honest with you, the discovery work, it can actually feel a bit overwhelming when you're, you know, staring at a blank page, wondering where to start. That's exactly why I am developing BuildQuest, which is an AI-powered planning assistant named Quinn that literally walks you through every question that we need, every step of the discovery process. It's kind of like having me sitting next to you asking the right questions at the right time. And I've broken that application out into four modules, which is your project profile. It's your vision spec, how we help you determine your vision and your style DNA. It's called the cost compass, where we help you do some early financial planning and budgeting and establishing investment goals. And we even help you find the pros to help you do that. This application is not launched yet, but you can reserve your spot at buildquest.co to be one of the first to get access when we go live. So that's discovery at a high level. Now, let me break down the five pillars of the discovery framework. These are five areas you need to address during your winter planning months. And by the way, these are exactly the five areas Quinn will guide you through when BuildQuest launches. All right, pillar one, personal profile. The personal profile is something that's extremely important to share with your prospective designers and contractors, but mostly your designers, because in the world that I live in, you design a project first before you break ground. In the world I live in, your first point of contact is a designer, not your contractor. I do hear a lot of people reaching out to contractors to begin with, but they always end up circling back to the architect or the designer to get the project plans and specifications pulled together. You know, one of the first things you can do to protect your expectations is get as comfortable as you can with sharing your personal lifestyle with your designers. And that could be your history, your relationship with your other family members, who they are, what are their names, how old are they, what are their interests, what are your interests. So who is going to actually occupy the home? This is a really big part of what an architect does is they actually call it programming. And this is the beginning of programming a project from an architect's perspective, is they want to know the human element. What is your family dynamic? You know, how old are the kids? If you have kids, you know, what's your lifestyle actually like day to day? Are you planning to have more kids? Or are you planning to have no kids? Are you planning to have grandma and grandpa move in? Are you planning to build a soccer field in the backyard? You know, there's just all kinds of things that a architect would appreciate as much as they know about you in order to tailor the designs towards your goals, towards your personal objectives. So the exercise here is to write what I call a lifestyle snapshot. And we don't want to make this overly complicated. This could literally be a paragraph of you talking about yourself, your significant other, your family members, your existing home today. And if you're planning to build a new home somewhere else, the comparison and contrasting of your existing home, what you love and you don't like, and what you prefer in your new home because of your lifestyle, that kind of crosses over into the next pillar. But the idea here is to write a narrative, write a paragraph. And in the BuildQuest application, after you answer a few questions, we actually write it for you. And then you'll be able to edit it and change it and tweak it. But we learn a lot about you in the questions that we ask. So pillar one is a personal profile. Don't skip over that. Give the architects and the designers something to sink their teeth into so that visualize yourself sending off an invite to your project to an architect in preparation of planning to meet with them face to face at your home or at their office. But the objective here is for them to understand who you are before you even meet them. Let's put it that way. So they can start to get their head in the game and understand who you are. So think about it that way, that you're trying to achieve that. You want them to know who you are before you actually meet with them face to face by sending them a quick paragraph. Maybe it's you send them your social links. Maybe you invite them to Facebook or whatever you use. Anything they can do to learn as much about you. The next one, pillar two, is the property profile. So if you're renovating your current house or planning to remodel your current house, it's really important to share as much information as you can about your property, your home, as you've been living it. So let's face it, it's really easy nowadays to get the data offline of your home, your parcel, the amount of square footage, the amount of bedrooms and bathrooms. And it's really, you can get that within seconds off the internet. But what we can't get is the dynamics of living inside that home on that property. Maybe you have a school in the back. Maybe you have a busy street you live on. Maybe you have no neighbors, or maybe you have neighbors that you like and you don't like. And the sun rises on this side of the property and falls over here. And the water drainage is a problem over here. If you get my drift, sharing the insights that you have on your property profile amongst the obvious things, like prepare a group of pictures of your home and your neighbor's homes and your neighborhood. So that's another one that sometimes people miss is let's show pictures of the outside of your home, the front and the back and the sides and the adjacent properties directly adjacent to your home. This is really helpful for a designer to understand the environment that they'll be working in. And, you know, take pictures of every room from multiple angles, you know, measure the spaces if you want. Document what you love and what you hate. That will be really good to provide direction to the designer. And if you're building new and you already own a lot, or maybe you're planning to demolish your existing home, and maybe you're building new, maybe you're building a custom home and you already own your lot, go ahead and share your observations of the lot. You know, the slope that it has, the orientation that it has. Providing pictures, video is even helpful too. Video is helpful in any of these aspects of the property profile. The sun exposure is always a really important one. And of course, you can figure that out using mapping tools, but it's supplementing that with the actual experiencing the property live, you spending the weekend out there at different times working on the property that you're planning to build. Sun comes up, sun goes down. Things like that, the trees, everything else that you can think of that you can't get off of a satellite image or a Zillow link. This kind of documentation is gold for your design team, and that gives them a baseline understanding of what they're working with. Pillar three, dreams and visions. This is the fun part. Now, this is where those late night scrolling sessions can pay off. Your inspirational images and ideas. Perhaps you're using Pinterest and you've created boards, or you're using Houzz and you're creating idea books, or you have your own set of web links or pictures. Whatever you've been collecting, you organize those. In some fashion, you may be able to organize those by exterior and interior, organize your images by bedrooms, organize them by style, anything you can do to demonstrate your dreams and visions. And I call them your dreams and your visions and your ideas. And I break those down. You know, your dream home is how you're just seeing kind of the big picture of your home. That could be one image. And then your visions are your different perspectives of your home in the different rooms and the different spaces. And then the ideas, it's almost like drilling deeper each one of these dreams and visions and ideas. And your ideas are specific examples of what you want your mudroom to look like or what you want your primary suite to look like. But one thing I want you to be careful with is don't spend too much time coming up with solutions. Ideas can kind of bleed over into solutions, especially in remodeling work. Don't waste your time with that. You've been probably wasting hours and days and weeks and maybe years of time trying to come up with solutions. You know what you like. You don't even know what architectural style it might be of a picture that you liked, but you know what you like. You know what you want. You're hiring a design professional to interpret all of your information, your personal profile, your project profile, your dreams and visions and ideas, pillar three, and give that to them. And the more time you spend on that aspect, as opposed to saying, I want a 800 square foot basement and I want a 400 square foot primary suite with two sinks and a shower and all these kind of things. These are the things that will come. Those will come. But ideally what happens is because a designer gets to know you and your significant other and your family and your property, they will ask those questions. They will do their own job of getting the ideas out of you. So this is a really important one because I know that people can waste a lot of time deferring their project for what seems ever because they can't seem to get unstuck out of the mud. So that's the idea behind pillar three, your dreams and visions. Pillar four is an interesting one. This is delusions and realities. And this is kind of like the tough love part of discovery. This is where we talk about the gap between the Pinterest dreams and the real world budget. Delusions and realities are covered in depth in my book. And the idea behind pillar four, it's almost like just to walk right by it. Because there are delusions out there. It could be as simple as your neighbor across the fence telling you how much their project cost. It could be the HGTV channels you're watching and how it takes a week to build an entire house. It could be you know, all kinds of things that I cover in the previous podcast episodes that you just have to let those go. As I look at the book in this discovery section, there are a lot of things I cover in the delusions and realities. And a lot of them have to do with other people's perceptions of how long it takes to do things, how much things cost, working with design and construction people before you actually engage with anybody for your own project, listening to everything they have. You kind of have to put that all away. Don't let that affect your expectations on a project. You're going to build a new set of expectations, and you're doing that with the discovery process. And then as you get into conversations and design work with your design professionals, this is when you start talking about your new set of delusions and realities that will come into play specific to your project, not all this random stuff that you hear all over the internet and Facebook groups, people that say they built their home for $100 a square foot. You know, stupid things like that. But this is but pillar four, you can read through the delusions and realities section in the book, or you can go back to the podcast episode about this important part. Put it aside, be honest with yourself, and let the design professionals that you pick help you with all that. Pillar five, the infamous budget. And this is probably the most critical and most avoided pillar. And I talk a lot about this in the previous podcast episodes. You know, nobody really wants to talk about the money until they have to. But here's the thing. If you don't do this work up front, you're going to have painful conversations during design when your architect comes back with something you can't afford or don't want to invest in. Or worse, you'll start construction and run out of money halfway through a project. Your budget is an investment goal. It's not a construction estimate. And this is something that I want to really drive home. And this is what's lurking about as you start working with yourself and when you start working with your design professionals, is how much money do you want to invest in this project, regardless, think about it this way, regardless of what the project is. So it's not uncommon, I would say it's very common, that homeowners have a dollar amount in mind of what they wanted to spend on a project. You know, you might be thinking you want to build a 3,500 square foot custom home, and all of the delusions and realities that you've heard in the past that we just talked about in pillar four, they said you could build your 3,500 square foot home for $200 a square foot all in. So now you can, okay, I've got a $700,000 budget for my project, right? But you don't want to tell anybody that because you think you're buying a car. And you don't want to get sold a bill of goods. But this has got to be the biggest mistake that people make. Is number one, they don't establish a realistic budget to begin with because of, for whatever reason, the delusions that they've heard. And number two, they don't share it early enough with design and construction professionals. Number one killer of projects, of relationships, both personal and business. And this is something that you have to really, really think about. So your budget is an investment goal, not a construction estimate. You will be getting to the construction estimate part of the project much later when you actually have something to estimate, when a contractor has something to estimate off of, such as plans and specifications. But it's just really about how much you can realistically invest based on your finances, your property value, your future plans. So there's kind of a two-step process here. First, you analyze your property value. What is it worth now? What will it be worth after the project? Then you build your budget based on what makes financial sense and what you can actually afford. Now, there's quite a few variables here. Number one is you can look at a project strictly from an investment perspective. In other words, if I own a $500,000 home and I put $500,000 into it, I'm now into it $1 million. And you look around your neighborhood, are there any $1 million homes in your neighborhood? If there are, study them, look at them. If there aren't, and everything's much lower than that, then you need to really consider, do I care? Do I want what I want because I'm remodeling my home for my life, for the rest of my life, or do I want to move out in 3 years after the kids graduate from high school? I mean, this is the kind of things that you have to think about it, and you come at it from the investment perspective first, if this is a priority for you. Now, resale is not necessarily a priority for everybody. Investment is not necessarily a priority for everybody. But this is one way to look at a project to make sure that you're not getting yourself too deep, because life changes. You may need to sell the home in 4 years, or you may win the lottery and don't care. So this is really important part of it, because you need to know what you feel comfortable investing in the project. And if you share this information with a design professional to begin with, and these are hard conversations to have, because you've spent all your time writing your personal profile, sharing your project profile and the dreams and visions, and you've got excited about all that and you're sharing all that, then, and I call it balancing the budget. You know, this is a teeter-totter. So you're just riding high. You're just riding high on all of this fun, exciting things that you're finally getting your head around because you're using this discovery methodology, but there's going to be a budget that balances it back out. I mean, even people that have unlimited funds sometimes still think this way too, because they have other things they want to do with their money. But for most people, it's a really important aspect of a project, and that you need to make sure that you feel smart about it. Or at least you have the information to make smart decisions. In other words, you could say, oh, screw it, I don't care. I just want to go ahead and get what I want. But at least I know where I'm at. So balancing your budget is really what we're talking about here. And sharing it with the design professionals. Because if you are planning to build a 3,500 square foot home and you really think you're going to spend $700,000, you're doomed. You are flat out doomed. I don't care what anybody says, because if you have a blank lot and you have to do all the, and you're planning to hire professionals to do the work, if you're planning to put all your own labor in the project as a DIYer, that's kind of a different story. Maybe, just maybe, you'll hit that 700,000 mark. You probably won't. But this podcast is designed for people that are planning to hire people to help them design and build their home. These are people that have other things to do with their time, like make money so they can pay for their project. Even if you are a DIYer or an owner builder, as we call it, where you do a lot of the work yourself, this is still a good exercise to go through, because you're putting sweat equity into a project. So what I want you to really think about on this budget one is balancing your budget, sharing it with your design professionals, having that tough conversation with them so that they can help design a project towards your investment goal, towards your budget. Don't expect the design professionals to bring that up at least at the early stages. Creative, passionate people. They love creating new homes. They just assume that you have the money to do it. They're not necessarily comfortable talking about it. Nobody is. But since it's your butt, since it's your wallet, I would recommend that you initiate that conversation if they don't initiate it right at the very beginning, so that you can understand that your project's really $1.5 million, not $700,000 for your 3,500 square foot home. You may rethink your criteria. You may rethink buying that lot. You may rethink the project altogether. And meanwhile, you haven't spent $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 plans and consultants and surveys, and you saved your butt that way. So these are the five pillars of planning. And this is everything you do before you reach out and begin designing your project. And that's the personal profile, the property profile, the dreams and visions and ideas. That's the fun, collecting all of that into some kind of organized format, and then letting go of the delusions and realities. Don't let that influence you, both in a positive and negative way. Set those aside. Just because Harry on the other side of the fence said that he spent $700,000 on a 3,500 square foot home, it's probably baloney. To begin with, you don't know if he got all the materials donated to him or he spent, you know, he did all the labor himself. You just don't know that. And instead, focus on your dreams and visions and ideas, your five pillars, and talk with a design professional that really, really has the knowledge base, and a construction professional. So once you have some early design schematics together, You could bring in a construction professional, a general contractor, a home builder, and say, hey, look at my 3,500 square foot home that we've spent a little bit of money designing. We haven't got too deep into it. What do you think? How much a square foot do you think it's going to be? Could you do a preliminary estimate? I mean, my idea was $700,000. And then when you pick them back up off the floor, you guys will be able to have an intelligent conversation. All right. So the discovery isn't just, you know, something that you have to do in the winter, right? It's just actually ideal for the winter, depending on scheduling. But this brings us to one of the most important questions. Okay, Bill, I'm sold. What specifically should I be doing this month, the next month, and the next month? And that's what we'll cover in this segment as fast as I can. So here's kind of a month-to-month action plan for the next 3 months. And we'll just call it for right now, January, February, March, to get your head in the game. Now, seems like a long time, but you've probably been thinking about this project for a long time, a much longer time than that. So now what we're doing is we're getting off our butts and we're going to actually package something up so that you can then feel confident when you go out and reach out to any kind of professionals to help you with this. So January, month one, is all about laying the foundation. And that is when we start collecting the information and having the initial conversation. So you're not making any big commitments yet. You're just getting organized and getting clear. So here's some thoughts. Read part one of the Awakened Homeowner book, The Discovery series, if you already have it, or you can grab it, you know, on Amazon.com and absorb that discovery methodology and highlight the sections that resonate with your project. Take notes on the areas you want to dive deeper in. Second, listen or re-listen to episode 2 through 7 of this podcast. And these are deep dives on each of the discovery pillar. And take notes on action items. If you're commuting or exercising, this is the perfect podcast content. And third, start your personal profile. Block out 2 or 3 hours with your partner or spouse. Write your lifestyle snapshot. Take some focused time to really do that. Light a candle, make some tea, have a beer, whatever it is you need to just kick back and just write a little story. Could be just a paragraph about who your families are. List the occupants and their needs. Collect a few family photos if you want. Document hobbies, work patterns, entertaining habits. Share your careers, whether you work at home or hybrid, work at home and the office, whether you both work. These are the kind of things, again, that help. And that's the third step in your first month of planning. And fourth, begin the property documentation of your property, whether it's a empty lot or it's an existing home. Take the photos of your lot, you know, pull out your documents, any title reports, any of the documents that you purchased your property on. And here's another thought that I didn't bring up earlier, and I've brought up many times during the podcast, is if you're serious about building a new home on an existing parcel that you own already, hire a civil engineer, hire a land surveyor, a licensed land surveyor, to do a land survey, mark the property lines, mark the topographic map, which is documenting the slope, if there is a slope on the lot, mark any of the existing structures on the property if you're planning to expand or demolish a home. So even if you're remodeling and expanding or you're building new, a survey is really helpful. And that takes time. That could take 4 to 6 weeks, maybe even longer, to get all of that information. And then that's going to be one of the first questions that your architect has. Oh, we need to get a survey. And you as an informed homeowner are going to go, I already got one. So that is a really good thing for you to be working on. And that's kind of like dipping your toes a little bit into dealing with design professionals is hiring a licensed land surveyor and getting the appropriate documentation from them. And you can ask some of your friends and colleagues, and I'm sure there's somebody out there that you've hired land surveyors before. They also could be civil engineers. That's why I mentioned that before. So you pull out your title report, you pull out your HOA documents if you have them. If you listen to my previous episode, if you're in an HOA, that's one of the first things you want to do is pull all that document out, make a folder, whether it's a physical folder or a computer folder, and be prepared to share that with your design professionals. You know, and then start making notes about what you love versus what you think you need to change. Measure any key spaces that are important to you. It doesn't have to be thorough. You may not even need to bother with that. And then fifth, create your vision board structure. So we call them vision boards. And the tool in the BuildQuest application will be called Vision Spec. And that's because I'm going to be building on that application for you to not only use the images, but you're going to be able to use it to specify the products and the materials that you want on your project. But set up Pinterest boards, set up house idea books, create categories or create boards for kitchens or bathrooms or exterior or landscaping, however you want to organize it, whatever applies to your project, and start saving images, but don't get sucked into endless scrolling. Set a time limit, a 30 to 60 minutes max per session, because you can also overwhelm your designer with too much information that just sometimes doesn't help. So, you know, pick, you know, 10 images per room or something. Pick, you know, 10 exterior images of you that you like, of homes that you love. So think of January as your research and organization month. You're not trying to have everything figured out by the end of the month. You're just starting to collect the pieces. Just start the conversation with yourself and your partner about what you want this home to be. Hey, I've got a quick announcement. I'm building something I'm really excited about called BuildQuest. It's an AI-powered planning assistant named Quinn that guides homeowners through every step of planning their home project, from figuring out your budget to creating your design package to hiring the right professionals. Think of it as having me sitting next to you throughout your entire planning process. We're not launched yet, but if you go to buildquest.co right now, you can reserve your spot to be an early beta tester. Early adopters get special pricing and lifetime benefits. buildquest.co, check it out. So month two, February, in this case, if we started in the wintertime, a little bit deeper dive. So in month two, now we're going to tackle the harder stuff, the reality checks and the budget work. This is the month that separates the homeowners who are serious about planning from the ones who are just daydreaming, right? And some of the exercises in month two can kind of push you out of the daydreaming vortex that you might have been in and really start to get traction with your project, or it might wake you up and say, oh my God, I can't do this. So either way, you're going to get closure one way or another. So here's what you should do in your month two planning is complete your dreams and visions work. That takes time, but at some point, call it done. And then finalize your design statement. And we didn't talk too much about that earlier in the episode, but a design statement is a term that designers use. And this is a one or two paragraphs about how you want your home to feel. Organize all your inspiration images. Identify specific features you want, materials, fixtures, styles. Create a must-haves and a nice-to-haves list. That's something that designers always appreciate. And you can go to whatever level you want. If you're an experienced homeowner and you know what architectural style you like, that's great. If you aren't, try to figure out what architectural style you like and then use that within your search terms. And again, here's an example of where the BuildQuest app is just going to do all this for you. And I'm just so anxious to get this out to you. So second, part of like the budgeting process is doing some research online. Go ahead and do it, but be a little leery of what you hear about, but check it out. You can compare your Pinterest dreams to other projects out there. You can join some Facebook groups and start asking those questions. Personally, I can't stand the Facebook groups because I think a lot of it's a bunch of malarkey. I have seen some really good, knowledgeable people in there, but more often than not, they aren't. But start, you know, get on some forums if you want. Go to Reddit. That's also another one. Talk to other people that have done projects. And just start getting a sense of what is being talked about out there in the world of construction costs. But don't put too much weight into it. But it's just kind of good to get a sense of a pulse of what's being talked about out there. And don't always gravitate towards the cheapest numbers that you hear, because that's another tendency of homeowners is, oh, $100 a square foot. Maybe I can get it for 75, you know. So what you really want to do is you want to do some own financial introspection work, we'll call it, where you pull your own financial documents together. You research your current home value. You could use Zillow, for example, to understand the value of your home pretty quickly, and it's probably pretty darn close. I know there's a lot of people out there critical of Zillow, but if you're in a typical urban or suburban neighborhood with other other homes that are similar in nature, you're probably going to get pretty close. Look at the recent sales in your neighborhood. Whatever data you can find, they call that a comparative market analysis, CMA, in the real estate world. So you're going to figure out that your homes in your neighborhood sell for, $600 a square foot, or maybe it's $1,500 a square foot in different regions and markets. But understanding the value of homes out there as your home sits today in the case of a remodel, and as newer homes that have been remodeled or built in your immediate neighborhood and how much those are, it's pretty easy to figure out nowadays. In the Cost Compass tool of BuildQuest, this is going to be something that's automatically done for you, but it doesn't take that much if you have the time to poke around on Zillow or Realtor.com. And that's the idea, right, is to understand from the investment level first so that you can then understand how much you want to invest in your project or how comfortable you are. So a good metric is to use cost per square foot. For the most part, in remodeling, it's a little more difficult because you've got existing structures to work with. New homes, it can range quite a bit, as you can imagine, but it's a good kind of benchmark, starting point, launch point. So if you know homes are selling for $1,000 a square foot in your neighborhood, and if you put another $500,000 in your project, are you going to be above or below that? If you're going to build a brand new home, an existing, custom home development or resort development, how much of the past homes have sold for? If you care, some people don't care, but it's just a good benchmark to use. So you've got the investment perspective to think about, and then you've got an investment goal or a budget that you're going to establish for your project, and then you're going to share that with your professionals. And then fourth, you're going to research designers and architects in your area. You're not going to hire any of them. You may not even call any of them yet, but you start looking at the portfolios online. You start reading the reviews, note who specializes in your type of project, your type of style, your architecture. Pay special attention to ones that have worked in your neighborhood or in your area or in your zip code or in your city or town or county, because they're going to be the ones that know the most about getting a project approved through the county or through the city. Understand your HOA. If you're in an HOA, if you happen to get a referral from an architect that's worked in your HOA before and you like them and you like their style, you may want to move them up the list because they've gotten projects approved before through your HOA. And that's the previous episode that I just finished, which is a biggie for the world of HOAs. And there's even a free download there for managing a project through HOA. So make a short list of, 3 to 5 that you may want to contact in March when you're ready to do that. So February is often when the clients have their come to Jesus moment when, with the budget. And this is when couples sit down and realize, okay, we've been dreaming about this $200,000 remodel, but we can realistically invest $125,000. What does that mean for our design? And yes, that can get uncomfortable, but it's way better to have that conversation in February over coffee than in May when you're sitting in an architect's office looking at plans that you can't afford. But this also can be where you might discover you can afford more than you thought. So the point is just to get clear. Ultimately, you're going to face your design professionals and your construction pros with these numbers, and they're going to help you kind of rein that in or expand that out. So February is a little bit of the reality check. And March is kind of, month 3 is kind of where it all starts to come together. March is where you transition from an internal discovery to external outreach. And this is when you start having conversations with professionals. But here's the key. You're not walking into these conversations empty-handed. You're walking in with your discovery package with you. Everything we've been building for the last couple months, you are prepared. And I got to tell you, when a design professional sees a client, you know, walk into their office with something in their hands and it's a discovery package, or maybe you've even shared that ahead of time with them before you're meeting with them, they're going to appreciate that. They're going to feel like you might be the kind of client they want to work with. They might feel like it's going to be a very efficient design process for them if after reviewing your discovery package, they feel like you're really focused. And hell, it might even affect their fees. If they think they're going to be able to help you in an expeditious and productive and effective way, maybe that'll be reflected in their fees. Who knows? But that is the idea here, right? But the primary objective is to share and achieve your expectations and not send everybody down rabbit holes thinking you like this style, but it's really that style, and my budget's $700,000, but it's really $3 million, and you know, things like that. So this is what you want to do in March. Finalize your discovery package. Begin the initial consultations with your designers. Reach out to your shortlist. Schedule meetings. It's usually free. You know, it's not like they charge you for these initial meetings. Also, research contractors. Although your focus is going to be on working with designers, research contractors, you may want to ask them to participate in reviewing your plans, providing preliminary costs. Your architect candidates may even have contractors that they work with that you might be able to engage. The earlier you engage your builder, your contractor, the better. Now, they may not be that motivated at the early stage because they're busy, they're building projects. But if you offer to pay them for their time, that also sends a message to them that you're a serious homeowner, you're a serious client. Another thing you're going to want to do is if you're in a situation where you have not purchased the property yet, let's say you have your eye on a lot or a piece of land, you're going to want to do some more due diligence on that. If you're going to put an offer in on a property, you may want to ask for a survey from the existing owner, or you may actually order a survey and brunt the cost of that to make sure that everything that can be done. Researching the zoning and restrictions, and we covered a lot of that in the recent episodes. Connect with your planning department if you have questions, and you just really need to understand what's buildable on your property. Now, your architect and designers will help you with that as well. And don't forget the infamous HOA. If you're in a development, like a resort development or any kind of development, there's probably an HOA involved. So that's your three-month action plan. January is your foundation work and research. February is your deep dive on budget and reality checks. March, package it all up and start having conversations with your professionals. So theoretically, if you follow these steps, and it sounds like a lot, but it's really not. It's the stuff that you only can do as a homeowner that is really helpful for your design team. And you can start your design work in April. And for a remodel project, maybe you could start in the summer. For a new construction project, you might be able to break ground by the end of the year. If you're in an area with inclement weather during the winter, with snow and rain, you might want to postpone that to the following April, but you're ready to break ground. See, now you're one of those people that took up the time for the contractors because they're ready to break ground as soon as the weather subsides, right? Now you're that person. So that is that's the objective here, right? Is the three-month planning process, the early planning process. Now planning goes all the way through the design process, and that'll come down. I've already talked about the design process in previous episodes, and we'll be going into more details of that as well as we, you know, continue to build your knowledge. All right, so let's wrap this up. Here's what we've covered today. Winter planning gives you a massive advantage over homeowners who wait until the spring. While everyone else is scrambling in March and April, you could be ready to go with your discovery work done, your budget set, and your designer already engaged. And we talked about the spring reality, how professionals get flooded with calls, and good ones book out months, maybe even years in advance. We revisited the discovery framework, the five pillars that create your foundation success. And I gave you a specific 3-month action plan: January for the foundation work, February for deep dives on budget and reality, March for packaging it all up and starting conversations with designers. So the bottom line is, if you want to build a remodel this year, you need to start planning now, not in the spring. And if you follow the plan we just outlined, you'll be light years ahead of where most homeowners start. So here are your resources to dive deeper. First, if you haven't already, grab a copy of my book, The Awakened Homeowner. Part one covers everything we talked about in much greater detail. The entire discovery methodology with exercises, examples, and frameworks you can use. You can find it on Amazon or at theawakenedhomeowner.com. It'll take you there as well. Second, go back and listen to episodes 2 through 7 of this podcast if you haven't already. Each of those episodes does a deep dive on one of the discovery pillars: personal profiles, property profiles, dreams and visions, delusions and realities, and budgeting. They're packed with, you know, actionable content. And third, head to theawakenedhomeowner.com, where you can download the free planning workbook that I'm going to pull together after this episode, and I'll also put it in the show notes. And this kind of gives you a framework of everything that we talked about today. And if you want to be notified when BuildQuest launches, that's the AI-powered planning assistant I mentioned that makes all of this so much easier, go to buildquest.co, not com, .co, and reserve your spot. And I'd love to hear from you. Are you planning a project this year? Are you in the winter planning phase right now? Send me a message on Instagram at Your Home Building Coach, or leave a comment on the YouTube version of this episode. Tell me where you are in your journey and what your biggest question is right now. I try to read every message, and I often turn your questions into future episodes. And if today's episode was valuable to you, I'd really appreciate it if you'd share it with someone else who's planning a home project. Send them a link. Tell them, hey, this guy's talking about why we should start planning now instead of waiting till spring. Word of mouth is how this podcast is growing, and I want to reach as many homeowners as possible to help them avoid the mistakes that are so easy to make. All right, so that's it for today. Remember, winter planning is your secret weapon. The homeowners who start now will have projects that go smoother, cost less, and meet their expectations better than the ones who wait until spring. And it just really boils down to taking the amount of time, the proper amount of time, to plan. You've got the roadmap. You've got the timeline. Now it's time to take action. Thanks for listening to Your Home Building Coach. I'm Bill Reed, and I'll see you in the next episode. Let's make it happen. Thanks for tuning into The Awakened Homeowner. Remember, you've got the power to take control of your project from day one. If you're ready to dive deeper, grab The Awakened Homeowner book on Amazon. It's your roadmap to success. Join our community at theawakenedhomeowner.com and download our free story, The Tale of Two Homeowners. And here's something exciting. I'm developing an app called BuildQuest that's going to revolutionize how you plan and manage your project. Visit buildquest.co to become a founding member and test drive the app when it launches. Follow us on social media and hit that subscribe button. All the links are in the show notes and bio. Got questions? I'd love to hear from you. This is Bill Reed. You got this.